I'm so excited about this talk tonight, but I had to laugh because when I got up and promoted it, once I sat down and Bill said, you know, you should probably mention that she's the wife of William Booth, you know, founder of the Salvation Army. So many of you have heard me do that. Well, turns out she's not his wife. She's his daughter. And I just found that out. And I said to him today, you were so wrong. And I led others astray. And he said, but see, that's why they need to go tonight to hear about it. He said, not only am I wrong, they're wrong too. So we're just all so excited to get to hear what Sylvia's going to share. Sylvia has not had an opportunity to share at Ladies' Night before. And when we were kind of thinking through women to share, it was like, ding, 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 Sylvia, let's ask her. So we are so excited. She's applied faith. She's applied a lot of hard work. And I'm just really excited to get to hear what she has to share. So after she shared, I'll get back up. If you've never been to one of our Ladies' Nights, you got a cute little number on one of your little flowers. And then we'll have breakdown groups and talk about her talk, and we'll end promptly at 8:45. But as it is, the floor is yours, sister. We can't wait to hear what you share.
Hello, ladies. It's good to see all of you. Like Mary said, there's a lot of new ladies here tonight. That's exciting. And you're going to want to keep coming, not because of my talk. Believe me, you're going to realize real quick that I'm not a speaker. And nobody was more surprised than I when they asked me to do this. And it would have been really easy to say no, but I have been trying to step out of my comfort zone. And I thought, wow, this... Lord, I have to be careful what I pray. So this is definitely stepping out. They already prayed. They already prayed for me, so I don't need to do that. But I just wanted to tell you something real funny about the topic of the upcoming ladies project. I have two sisters and no brothers, and of course with my mother, you know how they say that before long you all end up on the same cycle? And it kind of seemed to happen that way at our house. And my mom didn't drive, and we were too young to drive, and so we'd send my dad to the store. And this was before they kind of sold in bulk. So unfortunately, he had to go, you know, kind of often. And we hated, I mean, we didn't talk about it, you know, so we called him Dillies. So when we were out, we would say, Dad, you need to go get some Dillies. And to this day, I mean, when I hear about the Disney or the Dairy Queen Dilly bars, I just think we could have called them Dilly bars. Anyway, on to the life of Evangeline Corey Booth. She was the fourth of five daughters, the next to the youngest of eight children of William and Catherine Booth. She was born on Christmas Day in 1865, the year after her father founded the Salvation Army. And so for those of you that aren't too familiar with the Salvation Army, and I think here in Utah, there are not a lot of, I'm not even sure there's an outpost here in Utah, but the Salvation Army was founded the mission of Mr. Booth was to feed, to clothe, to comfort, and to care for the needs of especially poor people. His concept of care was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and meeting human needs in Jesus' name without discrimination. So Mr. Booth was responding to the Christian theme, which sees the church engaged in spiritual warfare. Even their weekly newsletter was called War Cry. And to this day, they have a weekly publication called War Cry with an exclamation point. Evangeline Booth was known as Eva. The mother, Catherine, wanted to name her daughter Eva, but the father thought that wasn't proper, that Eva was just too, it wasn't long enough and it wasn't a proper name. So he convinced her to call her a longer version of that, which she eventually changed to Evangeline. And Eva, as a young child, was homeschooled and learned all the same Christian principles that her mom and her dad followed. And as a result of what she learned in the home, she made the decision to devote her entire life to the Salvation Army. She followed her father's example of living by Christian principles and showing compassion for the needy and the poor. At a very young age, she would go with her mom and dad to whatever they were going to participate in that day, whether it was feeding the poor or street preaching or anything like that. And by the age of 15, she donned a sergeant's uniform, and she began her practical training in the Salvation Army by selling the war cry in the streets to raise money to go towards, you know, feeding the poor and ministering to their needs. At the age of 17, she was given a Salvation Army post of her very own. And because she had a dynamic personality, she was not afraid to go into the streets and witness. She would preach in rundown halls. She would sing of God's love in public houses, accompanying herself on the guitar. So she loved music, and she used music all through her ministry in sharing the gospel. She sang so lovely that she melted the hearts of even the most hardened roughs in the community. Many times she faced hostile magistrates accusing her of disturbing the peace. And it didn't, you know, lessen her resolve. She just was determined that she had a job to do for the Lord, and she did it. She was a very striking figure. She was tall and slender. She had flowing, long auburn hair. She had a pretty face with deep, flashing eyes. And because of her beautiful voice and her looks, she was soon known as the White Angel of the slums. How would you like a title like that? She quickly rose through the ranks of the Salvation Army. Her mother, Catherine, believed in affording her daughters the same opportunities that the boys had. And as a result, Evangeline served along with all but one of her siblings in the Salvation Army. She was most effective in England as a troubleshooter. She was sent wherever there were persecutions, either physical or legal, and her common sense and her winning personality, she just had the ability to find an unusual way to win over whoever was giving them a hard time. She would win her point and bring victory again and again to the Salvation Army. When trouble arose, her father, General Booth, his command would be, send Eva, you know, she'll fix it. Her first trip to the United States was on one such mission. Her older brother had been given the post of running the Salvation Army in the United States. And together with his wife, they were very popular and effective leaders. But their American experience was very different than anything they'd realized in England. And soon, they wanted to be rid of their father's autocratic rule and his control over everything they did. And so before long, they were in bad terms with Commander Booth. So he sent Evangeline to kind of straighten them out. And he insisted on their resignation. Well, or he insisted that they you know, either start following orders, do things like they did in England, or else. Well, they said, we'll show you, we'll resign. And so I'm not sure they had the proper attitude. But as a result of their resignation, the Salvation Army, then a lot of people in that area lost respect for the army and for General Booth, and they stopped supporting the activities. So Evangeline was able to rally, you know, the troops together and turn the situation around and keep it going until they sent her older sister Emma and her husband to come and take over the outpost in the United States. Let's see, when once that her sister and brother-in-law were in place, they sent Evangeline to Canada to grow the work that was had begun in Canada. And she was very instrumental there in getting public support and in growing the numbers. The people that belonged to the Salvation Army, yes, they were Christians, but they were known as Salvationists. If they weren't a sergeant or a commander or a private or something, they were Salvationists. So she did a really good work in Canada and was very well thought of there. And back in the United States, her sister Emma and her brother-in-law were doing really, really well in the United States. And they were growing the program of social work. Like I said, the mission was to help the poor. And so they established a lot of programs that just dealt with the needs of the down and outers. As co-commander with her husband in the United States, Sister Emma traveled a lot. And it was on one such trip that she was killed in a train wreck at the young age of 43. And so once again, Commander Booth sent Eva to take over the United States. And Canada was doing so well that she was able to leave and go to New York and take over the work in the United States. So it was in 1904, at the age of 39, that she began her 30-year career in America. And it was through her 30 years there, she established rescue homes for fallen women. She opened hospitals for unwed mothers. She established food and shelter depots. Salvage brigades were opened for the unemployed. They really believed in a ministry in the prisons and in aid to the released convicts. They also got involved in a lot of community things, not just like little service projects and things for the poor. During the San Francisco earthquake and the big fire of 1906, the Salvation Army forged its emergency disaster service. During this time also, Evangeline founded, or she thought that aiding the American Armed Forces in France during World War I was very important, and she won a lot of public support for this effort. In fact, she received the Distinguished Service Medal from the President of the United States for this effort. One of the other things she did during this time was establish Evangeline residences, which were homes away from home for the young women that had to go to work during the war. So with a lot of the men gone to World War I, a lot of the women had to go work in the factories and work away from home, and it was a hardship. So she established these residences for these women to be able to live while they worked, you know, away from home. And she did this in 12 major cities in the United States. Evangeline established a program to loan money to returning servicemen. And I thought about that a lot, and I thought about how, you know, we hear now that all these soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they can't find jobs. A lot of them, while they're gone, they don't make enough money to pay the mortgage, and they end up losing, you know, their homes. And a lot of us, especially I think Christians, we really think how unfair for these men to go off to war to keep us safe. And then they end up losing their homes, losing good jobs. And we need an Evangeline here to set up these loans for servicemen that can help them, you know, pay off their homes or help them at least make their mortgage payments so they won't lose them. Evangeline enjoyed a lot of support from not only the Salvationists in the United States, but because of all her efforts, and she had a lot of support from political figures and people in very high positions. So capitalizing on her popularity, she decided to, she put together a program, or a rather an effort to raise funds. And this was the first national fund drive in the United States. And up until that point, the Salvation Army just relied on the contributions from its members and from other Christian organizations. But this was a way to get money from people that were real impressed with everything the Salvation Army was doing, even if they weren't real excited about their mission to save the souls of all the lost. You know, they were excited about, you know, the social programs, but they were willing to give money. And through this effort, she raised $16 million. Back then, that's a lot of money now, but back then, that was huge, huge. And I got to thinking, boy, you can feed a lot of hungry people with $16 million. You can spread the word, you know, in a lot of different ways when you have, you know, money to back you up. She was so committed to the Salvation Army, the United States program, that she decided to become a U.S. citizen. So in 1923, in April of 1923, she became a citizen of the United States. Well, going back before that, her father, who was the first general of the Salvation Army, before he died in 1912, he named his successor, knowing that he was old and feeble and that he didn't have a lot of time left. He named his oldest son as his successor, and he passed along to him the same absolute power that he had. And he didn't see the tide changing. He didn't, General Booth didn't stop to think how things were changing in the world. And when he started the Salvation Army, and when he took over as, when he named himself the general, Then he had all these, you know, people under him, obviously. But that concept worked, you know, being a general and having the ranks and the file and all the underlings, that worked. But now things were changing in the international community, and reform was what everybody wanted. They didn't like the idea of one person having absolute power over what the Salvation Army did and how they did it. And so a lot of prominent Salvationists looked to Evangeline to convince her brother to step down and to let them elect a leader, a general. And he, however, wasn't excited about, you know, losing his position. You know, his dad was the general for a long, long time, and he had been waiting, and finally he was able to take over, and he was unwilling, and it took a long time. But at a point when he was ill and not able to fully run the whole international program, a high council of top Salvation Army officers deposed him, and they established the principle of electing the general rather than having him appointed. Well, there were two more generals that were elected, but eventually they called upon Evangeline. They called upon her to run for office of general, and she was, you know, she won hands down. And this came in about 1934, and she had mixed emotions because she loved the United States. She loved working there. She loved all the people she worked with. Things were going really, really great, and so it was with mixed emotions that she packed her bags and she went back to London. And for five very busy years, she ran the international work of the Salvation Army, overseeing more than 80 countries and colonies with Salvation Army outposts in each one. She traveled. She did a lot of traveling during this time, visiting and encouraging all the various outposts. I think I have a picture maybe I can show you. Obviously, the young Evangeline, that's when she was the white angel of the slums. And then the other picture was, you know, when she was the general. For five busy years, she was the general of the International Salvation Army. And 5 years later, in 1939, she retired, and it marked the end of an era for the Salvation Army. A shift came to where instead of having a general run the show, they went to a process of corporate solidity. So it became more like a corporation with lots of people instead of, you know, like one main leader. She also was the last of the Booths to head the Salvation Army. though Evangeline sacrificed a lot in the service of God, it was not without its, you know, moments of joy. She had a little cottage at Lake George in New York, and I didn't know where that was. I'm not familiar with the East Coast very much, so I had to look it up. But Lake George is at the base of the Adirondack. Is that how you say it? The Adirondack Mountains. I told you that music was a big part of her life, and she, through the years, would take time to learn different instruments. And she even wrote a lot of hymns. And in 1927, her book, Songs of the Evangel, were published. Her book was published. A lot of those songs are still being sang at the Salvation Army meetings, which are church services. You know, they call their church services meetings.
Unlike her siblings, Evangeline never married. Though when she was about 29, she almost lost her resolve because she was pursued and courted by a Russian prince named Galitzin. And I looked him up, and he wasn't that handsome. So I think she made the right decision. And besides, he died at a very young age. So I think, you know, she must have, you know, talked to God about whether she should move on that or not. So she did the right thing. Following her retirement, she returned to the United States, you know, the country that she had learned to love. And she spent the remainder of her years in a home, at her home, in Hartsdale, New York, a suburb of New York City. She died there in 1950 at the age of 85. Incidentally, that is the year I was born. So I thought, wow, you know? And you know what they say, you know, one dies and another one is born, you know, one goes out and one... And I thought, wow, I wish I could say that I was born to replace her. I told you about a lot of her popularity, and she was given two honorary degrees, one from Tufts College in 1921, and later an honorary degree from Columbia University in 1939. I wanted to share with you, going back to that cottage in Lake George, I remembered that the way she did things, you know, she just would go for months on end. And then she would realize that she needed a break, and so she'd retreat to the little cottage at the lake and do a little swimming and diving and relaxing, and then hit it again really, really hard. So that was one way that she learned to relax, doing that and writing her music and playing her instruments. One of the things about Evangeline, you know, when we've talked about these prominent ladies that have changed the world, that have done so much by their efforts, we want to point out their godly character traits. And it was hard to just narrow it down to one. With her, definitely compassion, but I finally settled on five godly quality characters or traits. The first one, boldness. And boldness is the confidence that what I have to say or do is true and right and just in the sight of God. And since learning about her, I have definitely prayed for more boldness. Like I said, compassion was a definite trait that she really learned from her mother and her father. And compassion is simply investing whatever is necessary to heal the hurts of others. Evangeline was very determined. She had a purpose. She purposed to accomplish God's goals in God's time, regardless of the opposition. And I think that's why she learned to be a troubleshooter, because she was going to get the work done no matter what it took. She had endurance, which is the inward strength to withstand stress, to accomplish God's best. And she felt a responsibility to God, and I'm sure to her parents and to the Salvation Army as a whole. Responsibility is knowing and doing what both God and others expect from me. And that's another good prayer that I think we can all pray, that we will accept responsibility purpose in our hearts to not fail the Lord when he gives us an assignment or when he shows us where there's a need that we can fill or something that we can get involved in. Um, There are a lot of verses that would go with all those five traits, but I thought this one kind of covered all of them. From James 4:17, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. And I've heard that all my life. I don't know if many of you know, but my father was an Assembly of God minister for over 60 years, and this is one that was ingrained in us. And my mom and dad weren't just talking about big sins. They were talking about little sins. So when you know you're supposed to do the dishes and you don't do them, that is sin. So, and obviously, you know, bigger things than that. I hope that you've all learned something that you didn't know about her. I think here in Utah, I was telling Marty that there was not one single book about the Salvation Army or Evangeline Corey Booth in the Salt Lake County Library System. And at first I thought that can't be right. I went from library to library to library, and I thought, that can't be right. I went to a couple of bookstores and nothing. And then it dawned on me, you know, the Salvation Army would be a big competitor of another big corporation in Utah. And I thought, well, now it kind of makes sense. So I want to pray before I step down and before Mary comes back up. I'll just step away a little bit. Heavenly Father, we're just so appreciative of this opportunity to be in your house with these lovely ladies. And thank you personally for what I learned about the Salvation Army, the work that they did, the ministry that they still do today. And thank you especially for the life of Evangeline Corey Booth and the example she set for many, many people, not just women, but men as well. And Lord, with these godly character traits that we have heard tonight, I just want to ask you to help us all, Lord, to seek your will in adopting godly characters in our own lives, and then to put them into practice, to strive to honor you, Lord, by becoming more like you. Pray that you bless the rest of this evening, Lord, and that you take us home safely. In Jesus' precious name, amen.